Ready? Go ahead.
Hey, everyone. This is Maria Brink.
This is Chris Oworth.
From In This Moment.
And you're listening to 103.3 WXOJ Valley Free Radio, Northampton, Massachusetts.
Press start to continue. Video game remixes, nerdcore hip-hop, and chiptunes from across the internet. Tune in every Monday night from 9 to 11 on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP 103.3 FM. And check out facebook.com/starttocontinue for links to show notes, random game news, and podcasts of previous episodes. Press start to continue. All a nerd needs to know.
The Forbes Library staff would like to remind you of the incredible resource that you have in your local public library. We have tens of thousands of books for you to check out, music CDs, movies, newspapers from around the region, the state, and the country. We have a wide variety of magazines and free computer and internet access every day. We also have our incredible reference services there to help you answer particularly vexing problems. All of this is free, locally available at 20 West Street in Northampton. So come by and check us out in person or at www.forbeslibrary.org or call 587-1011 for more information.
You say, I got to love my neighbor. Well, not really. Who would you say my neighbor is?
Who are my neighbors? Tune in to Out There to meet some of them. Out There airs every Wednesday from 4 to 5 in the afternoon with me, Ruthie Woodring. Come with me and my recorder to meet people and plants and think about ways we can share the world. That's Out There every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. here on Valley Free Radio, WXOJLP, 103.3 FM, Northampton. Archived editions of Out There are online at weatherbeard.com/RUTHY. Get out if you can. But if you can't get out, tune in. And that's today, Wednesday. It's 2 minutes after four. Today's Wednesday, September 9th, and thanks for tuning in to Out There. I'm Ruthie Woodring. Apples and pears, plums and grapes and hickory nuts, they're dropping, so don't forget to gather food for winter. For the next hour, I have an interview with Jonra Roberts about talking about race. This is kind of a follow-up to an interview and show that I did, or that I played in August, Mixed Race Mixtape. It's on the archives. It's episode number 40. And in that show, in that interview, I didn't do some things as well as I would have liked. And Jonra is a friend from Valley Free Radio and a black person. And there'll be a more detailed introduction in the clip. We actually got together last week. It was interviewed last week. So here we go. So for today's show on Out There, I'm talking with Jonra Roberts. Jonra is co-chair of the board of directors at Valley Free Radio. I met him through the station. He also does a show. What's your show?
Well, I do my primary show is Press Start to Continue. It's on Monday nights at 9 o'clock. It's a music show. I play video game remixes, remixes of video game music and nerdcore hip hop, which is hip hop that is based on where they talk about comics, video games, and math sometimes. Uh-huh. So stuff like that. And I also am the sound engineer on Civil Politics, which is Fridays at 7. And that's a political roundtable kind of show. We talk about current events. Last week I had to host. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So things. Audio things.
Yeah, Jonra also does a lot of tech support at the station.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for your commitment to keeping us on the air.
I like it here. Mm-hmm. It's a really good place, and if you're listening and you have wanted to have a show and you've been trying to think about it, then just let me know or just go on the website and email us, and I'd be happy to talk to you about that. We love local programmers, especially like new people like Ruthie that come in and do these amazing shows. So, yeah, so please tell us. I'm always telling people that.
So today's show, John and I are going to talk about talking about race.
Yay.
And how this came about was that back in July, Genre connected me with a couple of people that are doing a show, that did a show in August called Mixed Race Mixtape. And he suggested that I might want to interview them for my radio show for Out There.
Yeah, that was Allison Smart and Fig. I forget his first name. But Fig, they were doing a great show called Mixed Race Mixtape. You can find it at mixracemixtape.com.
And so I contacted Allison and Fig and had an interview with them. And during the interview, I didn't really feel that great about it. So Mixed Race Mixtape is, I mean, they performed at Hampshire College, but they're planning on
this is going to be a circus. It's an ongoing show. And one of the cool things that they're doing is, I think they said on your interview, they go to places that couldn't normally afford a show, like so underserved communities like that. So really awesome.
Yeah, good stuff. I saw some of their trailers or some parts of the show online, and it was really great. And so, so the show is a semi-autobiographical account of Fig. It's like a hip-hop theater show about him growing up in California. His dad is Mexican, his mom was white, British, and then coming to the Valley, to Western Massachusetts for school, and like identity and race and things like that. So I had an interview with them. I didn't really feel that great about the interview, and I could tell like towards the end of it that they were just ready to get out of there. So I edited the interview and played it the next week, and then after a few, like the next week after that, when I came to the studio, Genre, who had connected me up with Allison and Fig to begin with, said that he had gotten some feedback from them saying that, you know, that they didn't feel like the interview went that great.
They were kind of uncomfortable, yes.
Yeah, they were uncomfortable.
Yeah,
so Genre and I talked about that a little bit, and some of the complexities in trying to talk about race, especially when it's like someone who identifies as white and someone who identifies as a person of color, and it's hard.
It's incredibly hard, and it's always hard, especially in a country where race is so intertwined with so much that we do and so much that how people interact, how people just live, you know, like how people get jobs and how people do like look at sports or look at entertainment, how people gain money, or like how people can buy houses. It's just crazy.
Yeah, how people
there's so much, and it's just this layers and layers and layers of stuff that goes back hundreds of years, and you can see the complexities and the hardships just for people today because of that history. Mm-hmm. So people like saying like we're in a post-racial society or something, which is just bull. You know, we have a black president, so we're good with racism. No, mm-hmm. No. If you've looked at the news lately, no.
Right. So a couple of things that came up for me was, one thing was like trying to talk about it as a friend, like with friends and acquaintances, and then also trying to talk about it as someone who's interviewing someone, like as a radio person. And well, so for example, one of the things that, so during the interview, one of the things that came up, like, so the interview, you know, it was like maybe 50 minutes that we were together, and I felt like there were a couple things that we didn't quite, that we sort of interpreted differently. Okay. And I didn't want to say, no, that's not what I meant, because I felt like I'd be getting defensive. Like, for example, one of the things we talked about was Fig getting asked, where are you from? Because because he's brown-skinned, his accent is a little bit different from Western Massachusetts accents, and that feeling, like, othering.
Yes.
And
that's a big deal for a lot of people. Like, I listened to the interview, and one thing that Allison said was nobody ever goes up to a white person and says, "Oh, where are you from?" It's just, you're white, so you're from here, clearly. Uh-huh. You know?
Yeah, and that was, like, where I really begged to differ, because I ask white people where they're from all the time, and I thought about that comment a lot, where she said, I never ask people where they're from, because that can bring up a lot of stuff for people.
It's true.
Yeah. I've been struggling with that one.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that is interesting is the things that you ask and the thing and how you interact with just people is different from the average. Mm-hmm. So if you just go to two random white people meet, mm-hmm. then unless something is specifically different, there's an accent, there's like Allison is a redhead. So people might ask if she's Irish or something like that, which is weird because lots of people have red hair from all over the world. But if two random white people meet, one of those questions is not usually where are you from, like ancestry wise, mm-hmm. not, you know, like I'm from Wisconsin or something like that. I don't know where white people come from. So, yeah, it's hard because of that, because when you ask someone that, and especially if you don't know them, then it makes you feel different.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing to feel, because you feel that all the time anyway. Just because, like, it's Western Massachusetts.
Yeah.
There are not a lot of brown people here. There are more brown people here because there's a college here.
Mm-hmm.
But, and because there is a very vibrant Puerto Rican community here, especially mm-hmm. in Holyoke. It's not, there's a ton of white people here. And especially, like, colleges, like, people more ask, like, where are you from? Because, you know, you're in college. Like, you could be from anywhere. We have a lot of exchange students, you know. So, like, sometimes it's an appropriate question, but it's not really.
Yeah.
It's, like, it's we're going to keep saying it's tough.
Yeah.
It's very contextual.
Contextual.
It's very contextual. Yeah. We know each other, I think, really well now. Mm-hmm. And if you said, your name's Genre, where is that from? Then mm-hmm. I know that you're asking because you want to gain information about me.
Yeah.
But sometimes I just meet people, and I'm like, hey, my name's Genre. And they're like, how do you spell that? In like, J-A-N-R-A. And then they say, oh, where is that from? I'm like, uh-huh. I don't know. My, what I say is my dad's friend in high school, which mm-hmm. is true. His mm-hmm. name's Genre. He was in California for a while.
Uh-huh.
His friend in high school was named Genre. I called this guy, and I was like, where is it? Because I don't know. Uh-huh. So where is my name from? So I call him, and he's like, my mom named me, and he had no idea. Uh-huh. But when people ask me that, they are expecting that it is an African name.
Uh-huh.
They are expecting that is a foreign name because my parents are from a different country or something like that. Because mm-hmm. when people hear a weird name, quote unquote weird name,
yeah.
I'm doing the quote fingers on the radio because I'm an idiot. But when people see something different, then they expect that person or that thing to be foreign. And foreign is like it's other. It's not foreign. Usually when we mean that, it's international. It means you're from another country or something like that. But it mm-hmm. really means you're different.
Mm-hmm.
It's a foreign, like if you can say a foreign feeling, that because you don't usually feel something. Mm-hmm. It's a foreign idea because it's a strange idea. And if you say, oh, he's a foreigner, that is an insult to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
So I talk a lot about this.
Uh-huh. Well, you have to deal with it a lot. So.
Yeah, I mean, plus it's hard to explain. And that's really when you asked me to come on and talk about this, I really like talking about this stuff because it's tough. and it can bring up a lot of feelings about stuff. But I believe that the only way to progress in society is through education.
Mm-hmm.
There, well, not the only way. There's like disruption. There's protests and things like that. But it all leads back to people learning, hey, Black lives do matter. Oh, mm-hmm. yeah, they are mm-hmm. people. People, mm-hmm. brown people are people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instead of thugs or mm-hmm. something.
You're listening to an interview with Janra Roberts, a programmer and board member of Valley Free Radio. This is Out There. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring, and this is WXOJ 103.3 FM, streaming online at valleyfreeradio.org.
We were talking, and one of our other board members, board of directors, Stefan, he was here, and I think he made a comment about, oh, maybe you should record this or something, ha ha. And then we were like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. Because it was a real learning moment, at least for me.
It was a learning moment for me, too. Every time I talk to someone about something different, mm-hmm. I learn something, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because I learn how to talk to someone about something. And I remember, like, a fact about something. Like, mm-hmm. the word foreign. I don't think about that. But uh-huh. now I am. So I get to uh-huh. I get to learn something along with the person that I'm talking to.
Yeah, I think for me it was especially an emotional learning experience.
It seemed that way, yeah.
Yeah, it just like brought up a lot of feelings. Like right before I talk about this, I just have to say that I saw this awesome sign I think it was on Facebook at the Ferguson 1 year anniversary thing that mm-hmm. said. It was this white woman holding the sign that said, Black lives with a greater than symbol, white feelings. And I thought that was great.
That's there's a lot there that you can interpret.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's true. I think me not getting shot is way more important than you feeling uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That's really good. I thought you were going to say like something like Black Lives Matter or and White Lives Matter too, or something. Those stupid signs. I hate them.
So anyway, so yeah, I thought that sign was great. At the same time, it's like feelings motivate action.
Yeah.
And we all have feelings. White feelings, black feelings, brown feelings, everything. Feelings.
Well,
there's a lot
feelings.
Of feelings out
it's
there.
It's feelings
right?
about things. They're not feelings are not coded in any way. They're you can describe a feeling in a sense of your action or how you react to them, but it could be about issues involving race, but feelings are universal.
Yeah.
They're human. And some people, not saying you, but some people do forget that if you're seeing a protest like the Black Lives Matter, people talking to Hillary Clinton, or that went on stage with Bernie Sanders, some people might say, oh, the black people are getting uppity. Uppity is another code term.
Right.
But those people are not feeling something because of race. They're feeling something because of how they're treated,
mm-hmm.
and that is and it has to do with race, but it doesn't come
right.
from a specific race,
right?
So yeah,
anyway, so my feelings are a lot about, oh, I made this terrible mistake. We were talking about othering, and that's exactly what I did to them, and just these feelings of hopelessness, like I want to be an ally, but I'm such a failure at it, and I should just not interview people of color again until I'm really ready.
Well, that's actually a really good feeling to think mm-hmm. about, because a lot of people think because it's hard or because it's there's so much to unpack mm-hmm. that you should unpack everything and make sure everything's okay and then move forward.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really not the right thing to do, because then you're never going to do anything.
Yeah, right.
So I'm glad that you got over that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. People. So I'm black. You're on the radio. You don't know. I could just be a white guy she's talking to about. But yeah, I'm a black person. So I am a black person, and that adds to the conversation.
So you said that the interviewees said that they felt I talked down to them and was off-putting. Do you want to talk any about that?
Just in the general topic of othering or talking down or something like that, that happens to a lot of people without thinking. Like we were saying, like, where are you from? And specifically asking about how people are different. And the context and the way that that someone asks is very important. And I remember something specific that you asked about.
I'll just say one of the things, when I re-listened to the show, one of the things I noticed in some of my questions that the next time I hope would do different. So I noticed a few times, I think at least three times, I phrased a question, I'm curious about this, or I'm curious about that. And that's, I could see that as being like, oh, look at you under the microscope. I'm really curious about this.
Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it, yeah.
And I didn't, like, the way I meant it was like, this is what I'm interested in hearing about, but I know this may be personal, so it's not like you really have to answer this question or go into depth if you don't want to. I was trying to kind of phrase it softly, but
Did you actually say that, though?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either, and that's a really important thing. Mm-hmm. Saying, well, I'm gonna ask you a few questions, and if you're comfortable doing that, then that's fine. If not, then we can move on.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can ask these questions, because mm-hmm. you're saying, I understand how you're feeling,
mm-hmm.
and I understand that these might be personal,
mm-hmm.
and you can answer in whatever way or not answer at all. The talking down mm-hmm. thing, when we were talking about asking questions and talking down, it's sometimes questions like that can seem like the person from the larger, more powerful group.
Mm-hmm.
So, in race terms, that is white people in society. You know, mm-hmm. in American society, that is people with white skin, lighter skin. And if you are speaking to someone with brown skin, even if your intentions are good, you can be like, "Well, I have the power, and I'm trying to help you because you do not have power."
Mm-hmm.
And that's really, really just the biggest thing is it's insulting because you're like. I can say, but I have power. I have personal power. And you're making me feel like I don't have that. And that the only way for me to get more power is for you to give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
Which is really tough.
Yeah.
You know? So respecting people's personal power and their personal feelings about topics is incredibly important. It's a very fine line to walk, which is why when we were talking before, I wasn't like mad or anything like that. It's just, it's a fine line, and knowing where it is really important. So that's why we were talking about a ton before.
Yeah.
I think it was like an hour.
I'm still looking for that line. Where is it?
I know. Well, that's the thing. Like, sometimes I cross the line. I don't, nobody knows specifically where the line is, especially since it changes person to person. You can say something like, here's an example. So I have a group of friends, and someone was hanging out with us before, and she had just met us and everything like that. She has a black boyfriend, and when we were talking, she dropped the N-bomb. I'm not going to say it right now. And I was like, whoa, what is going on here? And later she apologized, and because she is very comfortable using that. She's white. I should specify that, too. Mm-hmm. And she's comfortable using that because her boyfriend said, I want you to say this around me.
Mm-hmm.
Because to some black people, that is a term of endearment. It's mm-hmm. taking back a word.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And when he says, I want you to say that, I don't want you to care about saying that around me, it's saying... that you care about me and I care about you.
Mm-hmm.
So the line is crazy all over the place.
Yeah.
So the best way to approach it is, like a lot of things, think about the lowest common denominator or highest in this point. What I can do mostly not going to insult anybody or give them the chance to say this will be insulting or this won't be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to work that into conversation. So, I mean, when I'm talking to you about this, like, I don't want to insult you. Mm-hmm. So I say, well, it's in general, mm-hmm. but it's not, well, I don't think it's mm-hmm. you. I don't think it's, I'm just speaking in general,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah. Another thing that, for me, the interview, another thing in retrospect and hindsight. So I kind of approached the interview as, okay, so these people are doing this show mm-hmm. about race and identity. They're very public about it. The guy's telling his story in a really personal way. And so I kind of thought, okay, they're out there with this story. So it's okay to ask them all about it. But in retrospect, I think I recognize more that the show was them out there telling that story, exposing
yes,
themselves.
Exactly.
The interview promoting the show was not
really
that space for it. So
yeah, exactly. I mean, they, one thing, and anybody listening right now, I really suggest that you go to, what is the website?
Weatherbeard.com/Ruthie, R-U-T-H-Y.
Yeah, go to the website and listen to this.
It's episode 40. It's somewhere around episode 40. It says mixed race mixtape.
Yeah, look for that episode. I think it's a perfect example of what we're talking about, and the feelings that you can feel you can get like from that interview is really important to know. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that to like, oh, look what she did. I'm saying like you did ask interesting questions mm-hmm. and stuff that I would like to know, but the context in which that they were asked were kind of weird. And the mm-hmm. the way I describe it is weird because when you feel like something's off, mm-hmm. you feel it in your chest, it's like, oh, what's that? Yeah. Then that is a really good indicator that you should stop.
Yeah.
And just listen to it because the stuff that we're referring to. But anyway, people give clues about when they're feeling off. And one of the things that I noticed that happened a few times is there was like a nervous laugh. And then they said, well, that's actually in the show.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And that's a clue like, okay, we're done with this. You can watch the show.
Yeah.
And that's actually part of the show. So let's talk about something else.
Uh-huh. And when I listened to the show again, and I got those clues this time, but during the interview, I missed them totally. And I was like, oh, I'm getting at what's in the show. I'm getting at the point. All right.
Yeah, yeah. That's.
And I was like, oh.
Well, the thing about like marking the box on the census,
uh-huh.
and I find that kind of interesting. Like if you're of mixed heritage, then and the government says you have to mark one of these boxes, and the other box is a very recent thing. I think within at least the last 20 years,
uh-huh.
But of the census, which has been going on since the beginning of the country,
uh-huh.
And when people could mark race, it was either black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Pacific Islander, which is all lumped together, which is crazy because if you're from Siberia, you're Asian.
Uh-huh.
If you're from yeah. Russia, you're Asian, mm-hmm. you know. But if you mark other, then again, you feel other. But mm-hmm. that is actually part of their show, like marking this box. So they said, oh, well, that's part of the show. You should watch that.
Uh-huh. And I had looked at the show a little bit, so I knew some of the things that the show was about.
Yeah.
So that I was like, oh, for people who can't see the show, maybe they can hear a little bit more and learn something, but it wasn't.
Well, I mean, yeah, the learning part is that was interesting. Again, the context that we're going to keep going back to that, the context of the questions and the way that they were asked and the missing of the signals mm-hmm. that I think because you're very concentrating on like, okay, I'm going to ask this.
Yeah.
You miss the conversational signals. It happens. Yeah. It happens. And I think the most important thing is that you know what happened, and mm-hmm. a lot of people don't mm-hmm. get that at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, if I hadn't gotten the feedback through you, then I would just still be in this sort of nowhere land. Why was it weird? Yeah, what did I do? What could I have done better?
Either way, that's good.
But yeah, after the conversation with you, I was just like, I just want to quit. And it made me think about some things about how it made me think, oh, you know, people of color make mistakes in how they deal with these things, too. Duh.
Everybody makes mistakes. The biggest thing is when someone, and this is for any minority that you can think of, the trans community or the gay community or anything that you can, someone is asking these questions and it's kind of, that can be kind of weird too. Mm-hmm. You know, it happens with any majority asking minority thing, and everybody mm-hmm. makes mistakes and it's mm-hmm. not just a racial thing. It's a human thing. Nobody's yeah, perfect.
Right.
You know, if someone does something even worse than just asking weird questions, I'm walking in a store and someone's just watching me. Like, that happened here in Northampton. I was in a store, I was younger, my friends were in the store, and someone was watching me, and they were going through the racks and, like, following us around. In one sense, you could think they are worried about their merchandise. Mm-hmm. But in the truer sense, you think, they think I'm gonna steal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it might have been because I was, you know, like a 20-year-old or whatever, and they might have had trouble with them. Or, more likely, it's because I was a black dude.
Mm-hmm.
A younger black dude, and obviously I'm gonna steal stuff. But they might not, that might not have even crossed their mind that is racist.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that is incredibly insulting and actually is hurtful, like, mm-hmm. to more than just one person.
And you've been listening to an interview with John Ray Roberts, a programmer and board member from Valley Free Radio. And this is Valley Free Radio, WXOJ 103.3 FM. And this is Out There. Out There airs every Wednesday from 4 to 5. We're going to come back to more of the interview with Genre pretty soon. This is Sweet Honey in the Rock.
We'll believe in freedom, cannot rest. You believe in freedom, cannot rest until it comes. We'll believe in freedom, cannot rest. Hear me talking to you. We'll believe in freedom, cannot rest until the killing of black men, black mother's sons, is as important as the killing of white men. Sons, you believe in freedom, cannot rest.
Sing it with me if you like it.
We who believe in freedom, cannot rest. The older I get, the better I know that the secret of my going on is when the reins are in the hands of the young who dare to run against the storm. Cause to me, young people come first. They have the courage where we fail. And if I can but shed some light as they carry us through the gales, we who believe in freedom talking to you, we who believe in freedom, and struggling myself don't mean a whole lot. I've come to realize that teaching others to stand up and fight is the only way my struggle survives. I'm a woman who speaks in a voice, and I must be heard. At times I can be quite difficult about no man's word. We hear
talking to you. We here believe in freedom.
We believe
in not risk on telling not needing to clutch for power, not needing the light just to shine on me. And I need to be one in the number as we stand against tyranny. We here believe in freedom and not risk. Oh, we here believe in freedom and not risk.
That was Sweet Honey in the Rock. Your bike, how to keep it tuned up so it's there for you when you need it? Or maybe you know already, but you just need to borrow a bike specific tool that you don't have. Well, come to the Bike Lab.
Almost every Saturday since 2004, from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. here in Northampton at 12 Northern Avenue.
Come with your bike or your questions
and your willing attitude.
Spare parts scavenger hunt every weekend.
Venga para el Bike Lab de Northampton y se divertirá mucho, le enseñará muchas lecciones cómo arreglar bicicletas.
All repairs guaranteed to the end of the driveway.
Details are online at pedalpeople.coop. That's the Saturday Bike Lab at 12 Northern Avenue, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. They say freedom isn't free, but at the Bike Lab it is.
Ya súbase a la bici, compa. Trépese a la de montaña, la bici urbana, la bici cross. Lléguele a la bicicleta, ya de menos a la eléctrica o a la estática, ya no hay tos. Llegaré pedaleando en el viaje de allá para acá.
So you've been listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. You've been listening to an interview with John Ray Roberts. He's a programmer and a board member here at Valley Free Radio. This interview that I did with him from, well, we recorded it last week, but it was sort of a follow-up to a radio show interview I did called Mixed Race Mixtape in August. We're talking about race.
All right, John, we're back. So one of the other things that has been on my mind is the whole usages of the terms black and white and brown. Mm-hmm. Like, when are they useful, and when does it just serve to make a sea in black and white?
That is currently the a good term is when describing is brown people. Mm-hmm. Because that's very inclusive.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, yeah. like Fake, he is of both let's say European and Mexican descent.
Mm-hmm.
So but he is brown. He's a brown person. Mm-hmm. If you say that I am a black person, and we are talking about black people, that is a specific subset of brown people.
Yeah.
And when you say black people in this country, you are talking about African Americans, not Africans that have come to America, which is another thing. Mm-hmm. So there's a comedian, Trevor Noah. He's taking over The Daily Show, mm-hmm. and he has this bit about coming to America and people saying, oh, you're African American. And he's like, well, I'm African, because he's from South Africa. He's like, I'm African. I'm in uh-huh. I'm now American citizen, so I guess. There was another side of that is there's I was in UMass in a class, and there is a story about a woman that was in class, and they were talking about black history and things like that, and everybody looked at her. She's from Ghana. Uh-huh. And she's like, what? You know, mm-hmm. someone made a, I think it was in a book, someone made a joke about, like, watermelon, and everybody looked at her like, oh my God, what is she going to do? And she's uh-huh. like, watermelon's tasty. What are you, uh-huh. is that? Yeah. Weird? Anyway, the usage of those terms is weird. One, because race scientifically is not a thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how much melanin you have in your skin. If you cut off everybody's skin, then they'll just look the same.
Mm-hmm.
People describe race as skin color, the shape of your nose, or your, like, if you have larger lips or something. You can see that, especially if you go to cartoons and drawings, mm-hmm. Especially in the teens and the 20s, like, crazy.
Right.
Even like in some cultures in the 80s and 90s, they do that. So race as a scientific term that people try to say is not really a thing. When you say black or white, and it's really important in context.
Mm-hmm.
So when we are talking about black people, Black Lives Matter, things like that, that is completely fine. There are other instances when you say black people, and it can, if you say it with a little dirt on it, like black mm-hmm. people, then that's
uh-huh.
that's an insult.
uh-huh.
So, like I said, it's really tough. The safest thing to do is to say brown people when we're talking about racial problems in the way that we're talking, like just uh-huh. white versus brown, because people from Central America and people like descended from that, they have problems too, definitely.
Yeah.
But you can specifically talk about black people, and that's not a huge mistake to do.
Yeah.
But you have to fill it out.
Yeah.
You know, like some people say black folk, and that can be like a kind of like our word kind of thing,
uh-huh.
like saying folk, like that can be like a black thing, and you shouldn't say that. Or uh-huh. depending on the crowd, you could say that, and uh-huh. you know.
Yeah, I'm wondering where this is all going to go in the United States, according to the most recent censuses. I guess people who identify as mixed race are the largest growing category.
I mean, that's because miscegenation is incredibly that miscegenation is the marriage between two races.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that was illegal up until 50s, in the Loving case.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I think it was Loving versus Alabama. I forget what the state was, but that opened the door to people to different races marrying people. People can travel much more. So
mm-hmm.
a few decades ago, you wouldn't be able to take a plane and move like mm-hmm. from Alabama to California or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the acceptance of different people marrying is completely high. Mm-hmm. So then they're having kids.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And they're clearly they're having kids, and since it's more accepted, more people are doing it. That means more mixed race children. And that's fine, you know.
Yeah, I mean, do you think the terms black and white, like how we talk, the language we use to talk about skin tone, is going to change in the next several decades?
It's going to change. I think everything changes. especially the American form of English is incredibly, it evolves incredibly fast. And it really, it's one of those things that reflects the culture of where we are. If you read older texts or newspapers, things like that, then you can see the language used about different races is very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
Like you see colored a lot, which is not good anymore. Uh-huh. You know, it's changed. Like there's color, there's black, there's African American, there's Afro American. That was a thing for a little while. Mm-hmm. I don't know. just a hair thing. a mixed race. Then you run into one of the things that actually I wanted to bring up, the one drop of blood, one drop of a blood rule. If you have any ancestry or large ancestry in African, like African American ancestry, then you're considered black. You know, like if I'm not mixed race, but if I was mixed race, like Obama, he's black, but his mom's white, but his dad's black, so he's black. that's a thing. And as we progress, that might finally not be something that people think.
Yeah.
So when he was running, for example, Obama, when he was running, people were saying mixed race, but a lot of people were saying he's black, and it kept moving. Like, same thing with Tiger Woods.
Mm-hmm.
That confused the hell out of everyone, because his dad's black and his mom is, I think, Korean.
Mm-hmm.
So what? They were like, what do we do here? And it was really funny watching the media trying to, like, oh, he's mixed race and he's blah, 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 blah. Let's move on.
Mm-hmm.
But eventually they just settled on calling him black because of the one drop rule. If in this country, if you have a black heritage, then you are black.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually it filters out a little bit. A white person might have a black great-great-great-great-grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
But that was the only black person in their tree. So now they're white, even though they might be considered black. It's...
Yeah. to be honest, like, when I, like, Obama, for example,
mm-hmm.
I would feel like, you know, if I called him white, that I would be discounting his...
You would.
Black heritage.
You incredibly would, yes.
It'd be really insulting.
It would, yes. It would be, if you called him white, that would be incredibly insulting, yes. And that's because you're discounting the minority status of his other half. And it's, and plus, even just not talking about race, that is part of his heritage. That's part of him. And you're not respecting part of him in that way. And not mentioning, like, if you call him black, not mentioning the white part is not as important, because there isn't a struggle with that half of him.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't a specific problem uh-huh. that he has to deal with. And some people who are white, like, actually are sometimes resentful or are sometimes jealous sometimes of the community in the sense of a sense of togetherness that mm-hmm. black people just have.
Mm-hmm.
I remember in the interview that Fig said that he looked for, like, when he was at Ultimate Frisbee, or when he was in a room or something at a party, mm-hmm. he looks for, like, other brown people.
Mm-hmm.
And then he can just connect with them in that way, on that level.
Mm-hmm.
So saying, not mentioning that someone's black is, or their black part, I guess,
mm-hmm.
is, that would be discounting something very important, to them in society. If they identified as black, like Obama might say, no, I don't want to be identified as black. I have a white parent. I am white. And that would be his right. Mm-hmm. It would be weird, but that would be what he wanted to do. But you have to respect what people want to do, like, about that. But usually it would be really insulting not to respect his black half.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah.
This is WXOJ Valley Free Radio. You've been listening to an interview with John Roberts on Out There. We've got a little bit more of the interview left, and stay tuned for Democracy Now! Up at 5 o'clock. So I just got back from Kentucky. That's where I grew up. That's where I'm from. So my niece and nephew, my brother and his wife, and my niece and nephew live there as well as my parents. But my niece and nephew had just started school, and, you know, started a new grade, a new class, and like the first or second day of school, I came on a Friday and school had started on a Monday or Tuesday. So like I was there when my niece and nephew got off the school bus. They're 9 and 10.
Right.
They're really excited to see me. We have a really good close connection. And one of the first things they said to me when we were, you know, hugging and saying hi and eating pawpaws was, my nephew said, "I got in trouble at school on Tuesday." And I said, "Oh, really? What happened?" And he said, "I got in a fight with somebody and punched them because they were calling me names."
Oh.
And I was like, what? He said, "I punched them in the shoulder." And I said, "Oh, what do they call you?" And he said, "I don't want to talk about it." And my sister-in-law is from Honduras, Garifuna, like Afro-Honduran. And so my niece and nephew are brown-skinned. And I was like, I wonder if it's something racist. But he said, "I don't want to talk about it." So mm-hmm. I respect that.
That's good. I mean, then, not that he was called the name, but that you respect that.
Yeah. And then, like, a couple days later, the company came over. So we were, like, having family lunch. And company asked how are things going. And my brother brought it up. Mm-hmm. And, Johannan had this incident at school. And he said, "Johannan, you can leave the table if you want." And so Johannan went. He left.
Yeah.
Because it's just hard. And my brother said he was one of the kids at school. You know, there was this thing in the playground, sort of ambiguous. No. You know, someone threw the ball. Someone else threw the ball. Someone hit it. Someone ran into someone. The other guy called Johannan an idiot. Johannan said, "No, you're the idiot." Mm-hmm. And then when they ran into each other again on the playground, the other kids had called him a black N-word. And that was when Johannan punched him in the shoulder.
Whoa.
And then I guess they both got, you know, talked to by the teacher or something. But so,
you know, my immediate reaction is good for him. Yeah. Education. Yeah. Immediate education.
Yeah. So, like, knowing that and knowing that, you know, it's hard for Johannan to deal with this. I think the same weekend, my niece, someone's asking her, "So, are you black? What are you?"
Yeah.
That question. And so I was like, you know, knowing that they're struggling with this or trying to deal with this.
Kids.
They're kids,
like,
right?
How old are they?
They're 9 and 10.
Oh, my God.
And they're in a predominantly, dominatingly white area. Yeah. And trying to show my support and love for them on these issues without bringing it up in awkward ways that they don't want to talk about, it's kind of a struggle for me. So it's like, I guess I ended up just, like, trying to spend a lot of time with them and be close and show them I love them.
That's really the only thing you can do with that sort of thing. You can't go around and tell everybody, "Don't say that." Mm-hmm. And especially in some ways, that's going to happen. And the kid has to learn, like, what's going to happen.
Yeah.
That's just the way things are right now. And you work to change that. There's this thing that is in the news sometimes that explains some things. The black parents have the talk with their kids. I've had the talk. I can remember. It's whenever you see a cop, they're supposed to be your friends, but just be respectful. Don't talk back. Don't do this. Don't do that. And whenever I went into a store, my mom said, "Put down your hood right now." Because there's cameras and people are seeing, they might think something. And the whole point is the world is is crappy, mm-hmm. but you can try to change it, and you should change it, but you have to deal with the world the way it is while you're trying to change it to be better. With what you were saying, he's going to get called names. He's brown, so he's all, and he's brown in a white area of Kentucky, which is tough.
Yeah, I mean, you've been brown in a bright area a lot of your life, right?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in South Hadley. Mm-hmm. I tell people, when people ask me, like, where did you grow up? In some ways, it's like, where are you from kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And like, where are your parents from? Boston, I guess. Mm-hmm. What are you asking, you know? but when people ask me, like, where did you grow up or something, I say, oh, I grew up in South Hadley, where the white people come from. because it is overwhelmingly white. When I moved there, or when my parents moved there, it was, they said there were, like, 3 black families.
Mm-hmm.
And no black kids in the school. When mm-hmm. I was going to high school, there were 8 black families. My God. Uh-huh. So it's tough. It's tough being going back to what you, to your
nephew.
He has to deal with that, and it's going to be really hard, especially where he lives. Personally, the way that I would handle that is, you know, you give support and you're like, yeah, you got in a fight and I'm sorry, and you try to hang out with the kid and tell them like what you did was wrong, but what he said was super wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But there's not much you can do other than that.
Yeah.
And it's really sad.
Yeah.
You know? Thank you for having me on. I really enjoyed it. And I just want to remind everybody to go to weatherbeard.com/Ruthie, and it's with a Y, and listen to this and other interviews because she's really good at it.
Oh, thanks, John. I feel like it's a crash landing sometimes.
No, no. The thing that's really important with interviews, I think, is being personable with and being honest. And even when something doesn't work out the way that you want to, obviously that this didn't, you thought about it more, and now you have someone else on to talk about it, which is really important too. So, and plus the other interviews, good. Nobody's perfect, basically. You have a 9 out of 10 average, which is fine.
All right.
So I'm on Civil. I just want to plug Civil Politics. We do talk about race and Civil Politics a lot.
When I've heard Civil Politics, I really enjoyed it.
Oh, good. So go to civilpoliticsradio.wordpress.com, and you can listen to past episodes. We're also on iTunes, those archived episodes, and we're on Friday nights at 7 o'clock. And we talk a lot about race. We talk a lot about current events, and I think this really dovetails with that. So. Thanks.
And that was an interview with John Ray Roberts, a programmer and board member here at Valley Free Radio. You've been listening to Out There. And there's one more. There's an event I'd like to announce. And it's on Monday the 14th. It's part of Nerd Night. Nerd Night. No ho. Monday. It's called Living in a Post-Racial Society or Not. Although we might like to think of racial bias as a thing of the past, there are many subtle ways in which it can still influence our thoughts, feelings, and actions. Is there anything we can do about it? The talk is by Linda Tropp. She's a professor of social psychology at UMass Amherst and an expert in prejudice reduction strategies and social relations between groups. And this event is Monday, September 14th at 7 p.m. at Union Station in Northampton. That's 125 A Pleasant Street. That's on the bike path. And I think their Nerd Night people are asking that you RSVP on the Facebook page. So Democracy Now! Will be coming up soon. Thanks again for listening to Out There every Wednesday from 4 to 5. I'm your host, Ruthie Woodring. And don't forget to listen to lots of other shows here on Valley Free Radio, WXOJ 103.3 FM. Northampton.